this Sunday for live music from the KBOO studios from 7 to 10 p.m. Shirley Certain and Just Jess will host Annie Dang, Rachel Taylor Brown, and Butterfly Breakdown, as well as some recordings from the KBOO Live Music Archive. That's 7 p.m. this Sunday for International Women's Day.
Shake, 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 shake. Come on now and move your hips in. Shake, 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 shake.
Go. Okay. Okay. Great. Good afternoon, and welcome to this special International Women's Day programming here on KBOO. I'd like to thank everybody who's worked so hard to bring this programming to our listeners, and including Jackie Malmstrom, our board op, and Ani and Dell and Aaron. Everyone's worked really hard to put this together, and it's so great that we have this for our community. For this next hour, we will be discussing the importance of conscious evolution for ourselves and our global community. My name is Sutri, I'm your host, and I am joined by Karen Keeney, Aaron Donnelly, Carol Marie Downing, and Carol Marie Downing. Sorry. So welcome y'all to KBOO, and thank you so much for joining me for this discussion. I've really been looking forward to having it. And why don't we just start by talking a little bit about ourselves and what we do and why we're here. You want to start, Karen?
Well, sure. Thank you, first of all, for having us here today. This is going to be great fun. It's such an uplifting talk about consciousness and evolution and how that leads to peace. In my life, it's been quite a little journey. I was long-time rabble-rouser activist kind of person since I was, you know, old enough to march and hit doorsteps, but became a lawyer after a while and spent a fair bit of time doing that, and then made a huge leap into energetic healing and spent a number of years traveling around the planet, teaching all kinds of people.
Which is where I met you.
Yes, indeed. That's right, and what a blessing that was.
Yeah.
Huh? And things have evolved from there, and I've learned to do a number of energetic, transformational, healing sorts of things, and it's such a joy to help people remember who they are and heal things that they thought were impossible in very efficient and effective ways. And, you know, we'll continue the conversation. One thing I'm really excited about right now is something called the Global Light Initiative, which is a nonprofit that I'm involved with to teach people who don't have the financial or other resources to learn this really elegant universal healing.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited to have our conversation and let people in on maybe some things that they weren't too sure we're going to make it through, but we are.
Cool. Aaron?
All right. Hi. Yeah. My name is Aaron Donnelly, and I'm a professional speaker and a communication expert. And the core of my work is really about removing unconscious blocks in the way that we're speaking so that we can get the respect we want and, you know, gain the rapport with others and really to just get the results that we're hoping to achieve through our communication. And I recently have turned my focus to women primarily. I created a course, an online training course called How Should I Handle This? And it's for women who refuse to sit around waiting for their career dreams to come true. They want to use the power of their voice and really activate a sense of awareness in their choice of words so that they can be heard and be understood. And my background is that I spent almost a decade in sales, and I really enjoyed that environment quite a bit. But I never quite got over the fact that as a salesperson, I got treated poorly. And, you know, you'd get hung up on, you could sit up for meetings. And that was just what happened outside of the building, you know. So within the company, I also felt like that I had a really difficult time managing how to get the attention of my manager, how to deal with backstabbing and gossiping and competitiveness. And so I had a little bit of a corporate meltdown, I think you could call it. Mm-hmm. And I wound up swinging to the opposite end of the pendulum. And I started working at New Renaissance Bookshop and Event Center, which is the spiritual hub of the Pacific Northwest here. Yeah. And that's where I met you, yeah. Sutri, I believe. And in that time, I was so lucky because I had this strong background in sales and marketing, and I grew really impatient with the language that is used in the New Age realm, because I saw that it actually, that there was such good intention of the person who was speaking in this way, and they weren't getting they weren't being heard. They weren't getting the respect they wanted. And oftentimes, I felt that that community was way more, oh gosh, sad, addicted, and broke than I could have ever imagined. And here we were in this environment of peace and joy and upliftment. And so that really got me going. And I thought, I want to crack this code. I want to find out what is going on. And so I wound up starting a business called Marketing Your Truth. And I was doing copywriting and marketing consultations for solopreneurs who are primarily in the healing and coaching realms. And I found even then that it was very difficult for them to build their business in the way they want. And they had this beautiful dream, and it never quite met the financial needs that they had. So they wound up just lowering their expectations and lowering and lowering. And I'm a feisty Irish East Coast woman who just like could not stand to see this going on. Uh-huh. And so I also then just started to crave, like, gosh, I miss my corporate roots. You know, I miss being around money. I miss being around power and influence. And so that's kind of how I came back here to do this corporate training work around communication. And I have found that when I tell people what I do, men often say, oh boy, I know someone who needs your help. But women say, oh boy, this is so awesome. I would love your help. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, gosh, you know what? I'm just going to target women. Let's just talk to women right now, because, you know, I still struggle as a woman, and I've always been kind of a guy's gal. I've, you know, got all brothers, and I could figure out guys and talk to guys all day. But I think there's also, you know, an issue with women communicating with women. There's a lot of hurt that goes on within that. And so I'm also trying to bring some of that to the table in my trainings and help women not only get their voice across to men, but also to other women, so that we can all come together.
That's great. Cool. Carol?
Beautiful, Erin. Thanks, Sutri, for having me here. Yeah. Carol Downing. And right now, my current work is an independent coach and consultant mainly for parents. I'm a parenting coach and also a grief coach. My background originally is in nursing. That's where I used to be a hospice nurse and did a lot of nursing education. And that's where, for me, I really began to explore consciousness in the realm of healing. And as I've brought that forward right now, it's for me in terms of, I believe as a parenting coach, that we have a choice as parents to consciously evolve, not just for ourselves, but also to pass that on to our children. So the choices we make and the beliefs we have in parenting, we're leaving a legacy with those as well.
That's really cool. Yeah. I know I listened to a woman, her last name is Safai. She wrote a book called Conscious Parenting.
Yes, yes.
She's amazing.
She's
like, phenomenal. I wanted to read that book so I could parent myself.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's phenomenal.
It's never too late.
Yeah. So, like I said, my name is Sutri. I have a business called New Directions for Peace, where I use emotional freedom technique and reconnective healing to help people achieve energetic balance. And achieving an energetic balance helps also create emotional, physical, and psychological well-being. And, you know, I got into that, I think, because I saw so many people around me suffering. And emotional freedom technique is really good because there are some people that really like to talk about what they're doing, and it's really helpful to release. It's a really helpful way to talk and release blocks, like you're talking about. We have blocks. And reconnective healing, which is how I met Karen, is great for people who don't like to talk.
Although sometimes they do.
They do, yeah. But I think, you know, I know some people that don't like to talk as much, but it's a non-touch energetic work that really helps, I think, shift and balance energy within our bodies and spirits. And I was really attracted to that because I listened to a podcast where Eric Pearl, the guy that started it, talked about you can learn how to heal somebody in a weekend. I'm like, well, I want to do that. You know, who wouldn't? And my partner was like, I don't. You know, but it's been great, you know. I think that I have lowered my expectations because I haven't reached people very well. There's not that many people that are familiar with energy work. And so I also supplement it by doing personal assistance. And I have this podcast, which is called New Visions for Peace, which I produce here through KVU. And for that, I do that because, you know, it's a labor of love to bring the different things that, like, you all are doing. And there's so much going on in Portland. Mm-hmm. And so many people doing so many great things that help us consciously and emotionally and physically to heal from all the things that we that have caused suffering in our lives. Mm-hmm. Why don't we start out maybe by talking about a little what conscious evolution is to each of us.
Sure. I'll jump in. This is Carol. You know, as I was thinking about this question, for me, I believe conscious evolution is that ability to step away from just the habits and unconscious beliefs that we can go about through our lives without really knowing what's directing our lives, and to step out of that and to really look at what we're thinking, what we're believing, and to begin to choose differently. For me, is what conscious evolution means as I work with myself and also observe clients, is that's the ability to make a choice to not be run by our habits and subconscious. Yeah.
And I first got introduced to this term in classes with Barbara Marx Hubbard.
Oh, I love her.
An incredible woman who's now like 85 and doing more work than she's ever done, probably. She's inspiring.
She's really leading the conscious evolution.
She's just coming into her own. She's found her tribe finally at 80 plus.
Yeah.
It's great. But one of the phrases she uses is evolution by choice, not chance.
Yeah.
So you're not just kind of on autopilot cruising through life. We are at a time where we are evolving and we can kick in and do it consciously and participate and utilize the higher level frequencies that are available to us now. Mm-hmm. And this sounds sort of woo-woo to a lot of people. It would have to me a few years ago too. But it's really true that the physics of the planet and the whole environment that we exist in are changing.
Yeah.
And we can kick in and tap into that and help it. Everything we can do, we can help it. And raise the vibration and get past this total mess, which is apparent on the surface of everything. And part of it's the rise of the divine feminine again, which is so perfect to do this on International Women's Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, conscious evolution is, I agree with the both of you. It's, you know, it's the ability to choose who or what we become. But what often doesn't get talked about is the consistency that's needed and the diligence and the intention behind this. And it also, it sounds like such a nice, lovely, peaceful thing, conscious evolution. It can be very painful.
Yeah.
That does not mean that there will be a level of comfort. And so it's this constant assessment and going inside and choosing differently. And that takes takes a strong level of awareness and also a strong willingness to live differently than others. So you almost have to choose to this life that is somewhat unconventional, and in that can be a sense of loss. So conscious evolution, you know, is about strengthening and evolving in this beautiful way, and it's also about letting go and experiencing some pain along the way.
Yeah, I think it's completely about letting go, because I mean, I feel like I've evolved a lot through using EFT and stuff, but it's letting go of we're conditioned to be certain ways, and we're raised by our parents, and they were raised by their parents, and it just gets carried on unless you examine it and realize, like I early on realized I wasn't gonna be my parents, you know. I wasn't really grooving on what they were doing. I mean, they were fine people, but I didn't want to follow that path. And I didn't know anything about conscious evolution, but I knew I didn't want what they had. And that was an evolution of sorts. And then, but still, I was filled with their beliefs. And some of those so strongly that there became some sort of self-hatred in that. Like, I wasn't who they wanted me to be. And I wasn't who maybe society thought I should be from their perspective. And so I had to do a lot of letting go to move beyond that, to be able to see my value. And that everybody has great value, you know, and to learn not to be so judgmental. Like there was something in that process that helped me not judge people so much, and to realize everybody's got, you know, their own timing, you know, and path to follow. And in my judging people, I was creating my own pain. Mm-hmm. So I love conscious evolution because it's helped me so much, and that it's made me a lot more aware of the world in a broader way, and more caring about it. And that's what I want for our world. I want us to care more about the whole world, not just our little piece of it.
It's beautifully said.
Absolutely. And Sutri, what's so really cool about tapping into these new higher level frequencies, mm-hmm. that people can do,
yeah.
is that you're moving from your conscious, logical, all-powerful brain, supposedly, that right. we've been taught to, you know, believe is supreme, to our hearts.
Heart. Yeah.
And when you live a heart-based life, then you understand so much more, and you can have a level of peace despite all the mess that Aaron was referring to, and the discomfort and the pain. And doggone right, change is hard. But if you can have that just foundational level understanding that everything is perfect, may not look like it on the surface. Experience your pain, experience your discomfort. Don't judge it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go to your heart.
Yeah.
Sounds almost too simple, and I certainly don't remember all the time.
That's the key. Like, I've been trying to learn little things that help me remember. You know, like, there's little tricks. You know, somebody even I read somewhere where, you know, a person, you can use something as simple as a stop sign to help you remember to go to live in your heart, and to have an awareness that just to look at the flowers, you know, just to take a moment. But, you know, I don't know, like, I have to admit that I've quit watching the news because it was painful. And a lot of people would say that's, you know, burying your head in the sand. But I still feel like I'm being active in a positive way in the world. And when there's something I really need to know, I find out about it.
Yeah, I mean, here we are, conscious evolution. It's about choice. You have a choice on how you could use your time and how you spend it. And if the news is continually draining you, then unplug.
Yeah.
I recently deactivated my Facebook business and personal accounts because I just realized when I am on here, I am more angry than I am uplifted.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
And I'm more judgy. I compare myself. I had to come to grips with the fact that I was only showing a slice of my life that was the most positive and that it wasn't all who I was. And so I made a choice, a conscious choice, to unplug, to see what life would be like without it. And so far, it's been phenomenal.
I have to say I miss you, though.
Oh, thank you. To be missed in a way, you know, I felt that I gave a lot in terms of thoughtful discussion, and I often felt like I did not get in return what I was putting out.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, you shared about your dog, and there was stuff like that, very personal, that I wouldn't. It wasn't always positive. It wasn't always negative, but you know, I liked seeing that part of you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, and it was sort of, you know, it's. Everyone uses social media for different reasons, and I was using it for primarily, I would say, business, because I like to stir up conversation. I want to get people going and, like, let's take this in a new direction. Let's look at this from a different angle. And the kinds of conversations that I want to have can't be had very well in a public forum like that, because no matter how well I would say it or how conscious I was with my choice of words, I was still getting attacked, criticized, and judged in ways that didn't feel right to me.
You know, my partner says that a lot, because she'll put things on Facebook that seemingly, you know, are just asking a simple question, and there's always a lot of negativity. People like to be negative, and she's like, really? You know? So it's a weird dynamic.
Guess I've chosen my friends a little more carefully. I don't seem to get a lot of the negative, which is a blessing, because if there was a lot, I would probably have your experience, Erin.
Yeah, well, I really like diversity, you know? Yeah. I mean, I like fiery people.
Right.
I don't, you know, so I sort of like, it's kind of why I wanted to leave the New Age community, because I just like knowing all kinds of people, the troubled ones, the addicted ones, the, you know, and then the ones who do have a sense of calmness and peace and happiness. I love the slice of life, you know, the diversity and the different slices of life.
Well, and it's her work. She's a social media coordinator. So she has to, you know.
Me?
No, my partner.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
You brought up something, Erin, when we were talking about having this, and it was about, you know, you said it in your introduction to yourself, of how an examination of our words can, and how we habitually use words, how we talk to each other, and how an examination of that can help us evolve. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. You know, I mean, I think we've made such great strides in talking about things that we do unconsciously. And, you know, anything we do unconsciously, I feel like it winds up hurting us after a while, whether it's, you know, eating a couple handfuls of Doritos before dinner, or having a couple drinks and not really paying attention to how much we're drinking, or some kind of behavior that we have that isn't useful to where we want to go. And so where I started to get really impatient in a way was particularly with women, because there's so much focus on, you know, feminism and standing up for yourselves and speaking out. And I actually, you know, I think when I was a young girl, I don't want to say I was like anti-feminist, but I felt like the feminist movement was really kind of angry. And, you know, I loved my dad and I loved my brothers. And I felt like, why are all these women so mad? You know, like, these guys are great. I'm never never going to be a feminist. And then as I got older, I was like, oh, I see why. I see why the anger is there. And so I love, like, that anger is justified. And so now I'm like, all right, ladies, so we have identified this pain. Like, we see clearly what is going on. Now let's talk about how our words can help match the changes we hope to see. And so, like, you know, for instance, we all talk about, like, oh, just be authentic. You know, everyone's talking, just be authentic. It's that's all you need. But, you know, when we are being authentic, that doesn't mean that we're going to be heard or that we're going to be understood. And so that then comes the pain again. So I'm like, okay, now that you have found a sense of authenticity, whether it's in your life or your work, let's talk about how your words can match that. And so I have a degree in interpersonal communication. And, you know, really, when I was at New Renaissance all those years and wrote the weekly column for nearly 6 years, I got to choose the books that I featured, and they were all, I was really into communication. So I feel like I have a PhD in this stuff, you know, in my own mind. And so, you know, I've studied about, like, wow, so how do we remove ourselves, like, from the victimhood of not being heard, not being understood, and standing up, fighting back? And again, there's a place for that. But how can we actually have our words start to create that change? And I feel like this is what's being left out of the conversation. And, that, you know, even that Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In book, you know, which is still getting so much, you know, women are saying, like, I'm leaning in, and guess what? I'm not advancing. And so it's like, all right, let's talk about your choice of words in that moment. Let's talk about your body language in that moment. Let's talk about your behavior that follows. You know, so it's like this conglomeration. It's not just, so yeah, I could go on and on here, but
I'd actually like to have a specific example. Like, I don't really know what that means, lean in, because I am not familiar with that book. And just, like, what's a specific example of...
Yep, I got one.
Okay.
Yeah. A friend of mine who, you know, was has done tons of personal work, tons. And she is a beautiful writer, and she's super intuitive. And, oh, my gosh. I mean, this woman is just incredible. And she had a job that every day she would show up and feel angered by what was going on. And it just kept building and building and building. And so she contacted me recently and said, I'm quitting this job, and I've written this resignation letter, and I want you to take a look at it. And she is, you know, in a way, that was her, I'm leaning in with this letter. So this letter was really her analysis of everything that was kind of screwed up with this company, and that she was no longer going to be victim to it, and that she was no longer going to let them push her around, and that she was leaving because this happened to her and that happened to her. And so do you see how it's just sort of like it was all these outside influences that mm-hmm. she wanted to let them know about? And I just said to her, okay, so first of all, what do you want to achieve with this? You know, and she said, well, you know, I want them to hear me. And she said, but, you know, I need to let you know, I also want to receive severance. I also need to stay on for about another month for my health insurance. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, we wound up, you know, reframing the letter. So we took out all of her judgments and simply just said, hey, I'm going to be moving on. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I have lots of insights about what didn't work for me here. And if you're interested in learning about that, I'm happy to tell you. But if not, I just want to let you know that this has been a fantastic experience. Thank you. And they were so like, oh my gosh, holy crap, she's leaving. And the fact that we turned her words around and we removed everything that made her a victim or that was providing unsolicited advice, basically, it aroused their curiosity and respect so much. And they wound up having a whole management team just to come together just to hear what she had to say. And she got her severance and she got the health benefits. And so it's like we're telling women to lean in, and we're taking that to mean let it rip. Uh-huh. Say what's on your mind, you know? And it's just like, yes, and let's talk about what your personal goals in that are in that, and then how to actually make your words, you know, framed in a way so that, you know, we'll get the response that we want.
That's fabulous. Like you got her to calm down, kind of, and to step back and to not judge.
Yeah.
That's a really big deal, I think, when you're feeling that frustrated and angry, because I think we could all talk about situations in the world and in our personal lives where we're really frustrated.
That's the thing, Sutri, when there are, you know, these blocks in our communication occur when we have an emotional attachment to something, whether that be the money we need to earn or it's a critical connection. That's why it happens so much at work.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's, I'm glad you brought that up.
And semantics are so important. You know, as a lawyer, words were my thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been around on the planet long enough to have watched this evolution of the language around women.
Yeah.
And whether women are really a part of humanity, right? It used to be mankind.
Oh, right.
Now, hopefully, most people relate to it as humankind. It reflects your worldview on so many levels. You know, is it workman's comp or worker's comp? When you're talking about doctors and nurses, do you always refer to the doctor as a he and the nurse as a she? Doesn't reflect reality anymore, but that bias is still in our language.
I still refer to bus drivers as he's.
Do you?
If I see a bus, you know, I'm like, what is he doing? I always, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's still pervasive, but it is changing.
But, and that's just another way consciousness is shifting.
As you're talking, one of the things I'm thinking about in terms of semantics that both of you have kind of made me lean into is this thought of, what are our semantics with ourselves? What are we saying to ourselves? You know, often we're putting out there, you know, they don't listen to me. I'm not being heard. And it's, I think it's a conscious opportunity to look at what we're saying to ourselves underneath all of that. You know, that we're triggered or upset or frustrated by someone outside of us not listening to us, because somewhere potentially inside we're not listening to our own quiet, still voice that's a little more true to our heart and where we want to end up consciously going. So I think in that there's also an invitation to look at what we're saying inside as well, and the judgments that are there.
Oh, it's completely
absolutely
true. When I, before I started consciously evolving and doing EFT, I would say terrible things to myself.
Yeah.
And I would think terrible things about myself. I was very self-judgmental, and I still do it. Like, you know, even if my partner doesn't like the soup that we had at a restaurant, oh, I'm sorry I took you to that restaurant. You know? Like, I still do it, even though I've changed a lot. It's just, it's that internal diminishing thing is really hard to work on, and I've worked on it a lot.
I mean
really
those get formed in childhood. I mean, you obviously know this, you know, as a parenting coach, and you know that I think especially, you know, we tell young girls like, oh, you can be anything you want, you know, reach your potential, reach for the stars, it's all in your grasp. But we don't talk to them about how to deal with things when someone doesn't agree with us or there's a negative response. And we don't talk about the cultural, you know, the cultural conditioning or the biological instincts that drive the way we think and act. And, you know, it's an intricate thing we're talking about here. I mean, there are no simple solutions. That's why I feel like this conversation is so important.
Yeah. I was wondering, 'cause I've heard this, in a number of ways, but there's I've heard a number of spiritual leaders say that the women, sometimes even American women and women kind of my age and older, are leading the conscious evolution. And I wonder what you think about that, whether or not you think it's true or why that would be. Why it is that women lead, you know, are pushing for the evolution of our humanity.
Well, there's a lot of talk and theory about that, and I totally buy into it personally. I'll just let my bias be known right up front. But it's on the energetic plane, you've got particular levels of frequency that are more related and connected to the masculine, and some more connected and related to the feminine. Uh-huh. And it's a continuum. It's not like any of us is totally one or totally the other. It's on a continuum. But if you look at the world for the last many thousand years in our recorded history anyway, the vast majority of societies have been ruled and dominated by the masculine, by the patriarchy, right? And we kind of see what a mess that's created on the planet.
It's very competitive. It's very the whole capitalistic build it for yourself and your own family.
Whereas now in this time of change and evolution, what I've been taught and understand is that we're going back to where the feminine will be the predominant paradigm. Mm-hmm. And it's nurturing, and it's based from the heart, and it's based on love. And not to say that elements of the masculine are not important still. They totally are. And not to say a lot of men don't have more feminine qualities than some women, right? It's not the body that you occupy. It's your consciousness. And I believe that as we move along, this is the last sort of hurrah of the old, dense, dark, warlike energy that is putting up a huge struggle, because their days are over, frankly, in terms of being in charge and being able to destroy and trash the planet and denigrate women and vulnerable people. But there's so much going on under the surface that we don't hear about in the mainstream media, and that people around the tables like this are trying to get the message out that there is a new day. It's already here on so many levels. There's so much going on around the planet. KBOO does a good job, I think, of promoting a lot of that, new ways of doing things.
I think there's a lot going on in Oregon.
Yes, there is.
It's a pretty alternative state.
There is.
And consciousness. But I was wondering if women... well, there's a couple of things. We've had to deal with the situation where we haven't been respected, you know, traditionally. And so we've come up through that, you know, and there's so many young women today that don't even experience that. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't even know what that's about.
Yay.
Yeah. But also, I feel like, I wonder, do women care more about the planet and the people on it than men?
People who are coming from a feminine centric consciousness.
That's a good way to put that.
Care more.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, they're fabulous men, environmental activists.
Yes.
But it's the consciousness, in my point.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's the perspective, the feminine consciousness, as opposed to a gender, that would speak to it.
When you're doing your parenting classes, I just wonder how, what you see in the evolution of consciousness in that world.
Well, I think it's shifting, and one of the things that I think it's shifting from is from more of a dominant paradigm, where parents were, you know, had power over children, that, you know, we were able to tell them what to do. You know, it was a very dominant based paradigm.
Completely.
And now I think we're moving into a place where it's more of a peaceful paradigm, where we're able to see that acknowledging children for acknowledging who they are, for accepting them, for seeing what their feelings are in different situations, what they're asking for, how they're wanting to grow. Like, our acknowledgement of that, our ability to be emotional coaches for them, create this very natural place of cooperation.
Yeah.
That before was, you know, just kind of top down with a dominant paradigm. This way you kind of come alongside the child. You help them to understand. You're still teaching. You're still giving them limits, but you're really doing it within a natural, peaceful place of cooperation.
You're not just saying no.
Right, exactly.
Do what I say.
Right, there's a consciousness. Well, and you know, you saying that, there's a consciousness behind the yes or the no. You know, there may be some things that are no. You know, as parents, there's a lot of safety that we need to create for our children. But really finding out what is the yes behind the no, or what's the no behind the yes. Like, really figuring out why we're asking or teaching our children something rather than just doing it from a because I said so.
Or because my mother told me.
Right, because my mother told me and her mother told her, right? So that it comes from a very conscious place inside where we understand what we value and why we want to pass that on to our children or why we don't want to pass that on to our children.
I was listening to, can you say that woman's name?
I can't. I know the book that you're referring to, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
She was talking about
her. Is it Usha?
No, her name is Tessa Folly. I can't get it right now. Yeah. But she wrote a fabulous book. I heard her talk on the Oprah's Super Soul Sunday.
But, oh, yes, her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was talking about her son and, you know, wanting candy before dinner or something like that. And just the way she was talking, like, you know, I really get it that you're frustrated.
Yeah. You really want candy before
really
dinner?
I really understand that why you'd want it, you know, I really get that. But she was having a real hard time with him until she kind of sat down and when it was all about acknowledging, I get it, you're having a hard time with this. Right. And as soon as she acknowledged that in him, that his reality, he calmed down and he was able to listen. And it was just kind of a big transformative moment in their relationship, which was, you know, kind of, you know, that's an evolution. I think all of those little things are evolutions.
Well, it's what we all want. You know, I think it's that we all want to be heard.
Yeah.
And as soon as we're acknowledged for what we're feeling, what we're needing, what we're expressing, there's more of a willingness to be in conversation.
Yeah.
If we feel like the person we're in conversation with hears us.
Yeah.
So, Carol, do you find, I know you're a parent's coach, but is there a shift in the consciousness of the children that are being born today?
You know,
are they different than we were?
I guess I'm going to say I don't know. I mean, I think I would say yes to that personally in my interaction with my own child, with the children that he's friends with. But I don't know if it's a shift in parenting or if it's a shift in the actual children that are coming in.
Well, you know, there's so much more information available to all of us, but children And like, you know, I've talked with a number of people, like, it seems like they come in knowing how to use computers. They know how to use, you know, like, I have this friend of mine that she's come up to visit and she lives in Southern Oregon. She's afraid to drive around Portland. And they weren't being able to figure out the GPS. And he's like, you know, he was like 5. He's like, give me that, you know, and he figured out how to get, you're going the wrong direction, turn around, you know. You know, it's like they come in kind of knowing, but there's so in the energetic realm, there is consciousness and information. And I think that that consciousness and information is going into the children earlier. I mean, they're getting that change.
Yeah, it's like what they're exposed to.
Yeah.
You know, the messages they're exposed to are so different than the messages I was exposed to and my mom was exposed to. And I don't have children, but I often feel that it must be difficult for parents who do have children in this day and age because, you know, children have choice on who they can become. And, you know, whether if they're a little boy and they want to be a girl, that's happening now. And I think that's wonderful. But we also don't, you know, as parents, they sometimes don't have those skills to help the child cross over. And I find that, you know, even with my own parents, I just turned 40 this year, we're still learning how to communicate with each other. And I've chosen not to have children, but that I haven't known whether I wanted to do that or not. You know, I've sort of like biologically, I was feeling the urge, but my life was like, this is not going to, I don't want to do this. And I didn't want to be pregnant. And, you know, but I would see how much my parents value the grandchildren that are being born. I'd see the smile on their faces and how proud they were and how much they would do for my brothers who were having children. And I thought, I will never have that. I will never be able to give that to them. And there was such sadness in that for me. And they kept saying, no, we love you anyway. No, just do whatever you want. And finally, my dad's like, Aaron, make the choice and move on. And I said, but I want to be a mom. you know, I want to be acknowledged for the fact that, like, can't you see what kind of pain I'm dealing with here? That you got, I see how happy this makes you, and I am never going to be able to do that. You'll never understand what's going on in my business or my personal mission. You know, it's like, but if I had a kid, oh, okay. Then you'd understand me.
Yeah.
And so we've really had to work on that. And and I think my parents have done a great job of finding ways to acknowledge me for who I am, but it's taken practice.
Yeah.
And it's not just about their words, it's about their actions too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's great. Yeah. I'd like to take this a little bit to the global level, because I feel like consciously evolving for me is it's a priority and a responsibility, so that I can give to the planet and to our global community. And so why do any of you feel like it's important to evolve and become aware and take responsibility for our own actions, basically?
Can we make a difference? Our little being, tiny little speck on this planet.
Yeah.
Had a beautiful image given to me one time, where if you just imagine the Earth, and this is a painful image, but just encased in this net with sharp teeth, just constricting it from every possible angle, just strangled in this net. And then what happens when you take one little strand and loosen that constriction? It affects the entire being, the entire thing. So everything that you do can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what my work has been about for the past number of years, is helping people, as I'm still remembering, remember who you really are, why you really came here at this particular time, which mm-hmm. is a critical time in the evolution of the planet. And then make your choice. Are you going to step up, shine your light, and act, or not? And really, much as I struggle with this, there's no judgment about whether you do or don't, but it's sure helpful if you do. So I think it's critical. And that's why our work with Global Light Initiative in teaching people how to connect with these higher frequencies in such an efficient and effective and powerful way, just spread this light all over mm-hmm. and help just light up the whole globe, which has universal implications.
And do you think, I think if you, like you were talking earlier about living from the heart, then you also care more, I think. Maybe you care more about the environment and what you're doing personally in your home, and you care more about maybe even the person on the street that's panhandling. You know, like, it's not like I used to go, man, go get a job. And now I'm like, man, that's a bummer, you know, and when I can, and, you know, and when I feel it, I don't do it all the time, but, you know, I have this friend of mine that I went to high school with, and she taught her grandson that when they see a person on the street like that, to send them love.
Beautiful.
And whether or not you're giving money, if you're coming to people with love in your art, then that, I think that's a huge gift.
Absolutely.
To give in the world. And even if that's all you do, that's a huge thing. And it's a shift in consciousness from I'm suffering, people are doing all this stuff to me, things are so hard, I'm not getting what I want, nobody's helping me, to reaching out, to opening yourself up, you know, to I don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something that brings up for me, Sutri, that sense of, you know, I think when we see judgment in ourselves, you know, towards others, that I think an easy way to begin to open our heart is to, and when we see our judgment, to see if there's a place of curiosity.
yes,
that we could have.
Nice.
Like, I wonder what they're going through. I wonder what has them there in that situation. Like, and that gives our heart an opening to see how we might be able to support them if there's curiosity about why they might be there. And then, as Karen was saying, to kind of come alive in our own gifts and talents, that whatever we do in the world to bring our own light in is going to be individual from anyone else.
Yeah.
And the problems that we choose to address or solve or bring our light to are going to be unique to all of us as well.
Yes.
That's why we choose.
Yeah. You know, this focus on healing the planet feels a bit overwhelming to me. It seems like, whoa, like, what, you know, what can I do? It's like the planet. It's whoa, hey. And, you know, and I even remember someone saying recently, like, have we stopped caring what's happening overseas and the suffering that's going on in other countries? Yeah. And, you know, I have to say for myself, it's not that I don't care, but I care more about my neighbor down the street who just had two twins and needs some help, or the guy next door who just hurt his neck and I might need to go to the grocery store for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's almost just like, I think that sometimes we focus too much on, I don't, maybe not too much, but it's a complicated thing. And we're like, we're thinking of the planet and, you know, overseas, but we're neglecting what's happening in our own hearts, in our own families, in our own communities. Uh-huh. And it's tricky. And I think especially, you know, those in the environmental movement have really had quite a challenge from a marketing perspective. And how do we evoke a sense of responsibility and action with these people? Because again, it's like, well, what is my one, you know, just recycling, is that really going to make a difference kind of thing? And it's like, you know, it's just, and so it's tricky. And and, you know, although I care about the planet, I think I'm at a place where I care more about who's close around me. Yeah. And I want to be really, it's why I got off Facebook. I'm like, I can't manage being friends with 3,000 people anymore. I want to really give my quality time and focus to the few people in my life where it's a mutual thing.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things. I think there will always be people who want to go out on a global scale and do big things into other countries. And that's great. but I also think I've been thinking about service a lot. And because I've been reading this book where this person talks about it anyway. And the idea is any service you give serves the whole.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're serving your neighbor, your family member, or even the animals in your life. That serves the whole, because you're giving your heart, you're giving your goodness, you're giving your caring and your actions. And any time you do that, whatever scale it's on, whether it's very personal and right next door, or, you know, on a big, huge corporate scale, then that's serving the whole planet.
Absolutely. I have something to say about that. Karen, would
Go ahead.
You know, I mean, in my years of working with coaches and healers and that community, it's all that's their primary language. I just want to be of service. I just want to be of service. And so being of service oftentimes is depleting to them. They're not getting the finance. They're not financially supporting themselves. They're not getting the basic need, their own basic needs met, because they're out there being of service to everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this being of service kind of has like a give and take. And it's even, you know, like in networking groups, there's always this focus on, you know, well, you know, find out how you can be of service to the other person first, you know? So like, you know, when I worked at New Renaissance, people would always say to me, I really want to learn about your business. Can we go to coffee? Tell me about you. Tell me about you. But I felt that there was often a hidden agenda in that. And I'd kind of be like, well, what do you really want from this? You know, and I would find out that they wanted me as a client, or they wanted me to feature them in the New Renaissance column. And so these hidden, hidden agenda, the secret intention that is goes against being of service, that it isn't, you know, that giving back that they can't say, it winds up creating an issue. Because then I didn't trust them, you know? And so they weren't of service to either themselves or me. And so, it, again, these are tricky conversations, but I love that we're dissecting it.
Yeah. And just what I wanted to pick up on from what you were saying, Sutri, is just being worried that what you were contributing wasn't making any difference. And excuse me for going back to the global again, Aaron, but if we have a realization that we are all connected.
Yeah.
We are really all one, seriously, and just wonderful, unique individual pieces. So whatever you do is going to affect everything else.
Yeah.
I saw this wonderful thing on Facebook. Okay. I'll admit I'm still there. It was a graphic, and it was of the Earth, like from space. And it said something like planet Earth, population one.
Yeah.
We're all one.
Right. Yeah. And you know, in a quantum level, we truly are. And I don't know how much of our world has that awareness, but that's what really motivates me, is to have that awareness and to live in, you know, and try to remember that anything I do, whether it's angry or good, has an effect. Mm-hmm. And my personal evolution is to remember that more and to act in such a way that I want to contribute. I have to admit, you know, I probably am one of those people that is not really getting as much financial necessities met as I would like.
It's an epidemic.
Right. Yeah. But it's the choice I make.
Yeah. You know, my issue with the oneness thing is, as much as I agree, you know, it's like, but as women, we are biologically different. And as, you know, as our history is different. And so the oneness thing sometimes dilutes that conversation. I feel like it's like, oh, let's not talk about, you know, man versus woman or how we're different, because we are all one. And yes, that's true. And yes, as women, we have a different body. We have a different struggle. We have different needs.
Yeah. All unique. Absolutely.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, I get drowned up. People say, oh, or even just like the feminism thing, like, oh, let's not talk about feminism because we're all one.
Well, you know, but not what I meant.
But you see how it gets confused, though? This is like, I think these messages become confusing to us, and we take them and so, you know, again, it's just so important that we dissect them. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's really cool that we've been doing this today.
Yeah. Want to say anything, Carol?
You read my mind there. I think, you know, something that you said that I think plays into all of these things is that, you know, we look at the global and how we can feel overwhelmed at times. But then when we act close to us, you know, whether it's the twins that were born down the street from Aaron or, you know, the neighbor that you're talking about, that when we act, we continue to open our hearts and we see that we're connected. And we begin to perceive, I think, that connection that what Karen's saying is goes all the way around the globe. You know, that as we connect in ripples, then hopefully the people that we open our hearts to, that we are able to see as vulnerable and hopefully be vulnerable with ourselves, we begin to see that everybody's got something that they're dealing with, some level of suffering. And then if we can meet that in ourselves and reach out just as far as our neighbor to ease some other suffering, then we're together in that. We're not alone, which I think is often our biggest fear.
That's fabulous. You know, I could talk about this for a couple hours, I think, but we're running out of time now.
Yeah, this flew.
But I would like, if you any of you want to give your websites, we have about another minute or so here, and I want to thank you so much again for coming to do this with me. I feel so honored and blessed, and I love having this conversation. And I could talk to about it for a few hours, but why don't we?
Okay, real quick. www.karenkeeney.net, K-A-R-E-N-K-E-E-N-E-Y.net.
I've enjoyed this so much. Thanks for having me. My website is Erin Donley, and that's E-R-I-N-D-O-N-L-E-Y. And then my online training course for women is howshouldihandlethis.com.
And it's very interesting. Check that out. I was reading it, and it looks pretty cool.
Thanks, Sutri.
Beautiful. Thanks again, Sutri. This is Carol, and my website is gratefulheartcoaching.com.
And you will be able to listen to this program on KBOO and iTunes on New Visions for Peace. And my website is New Directions for Peace. And thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you, Jackie Malmstrom, for board hopping, and everyone else at KBOO who has worked to put this together.
Thank you, ladies. The time is 4:28 p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, violence against women and abusive relationships.
Tune in to International Women's Day this Sunday for live music from the KBOO studios from 7 to 10 p.m. Shirley Certain and Just Jess will host Annie Dang, Rachel Taylor Brown, and Butterfly Breakdown, as well as some recordings from the KBOO Live Music Archive. That's 7 p.m. this Sunday for International Women's Day.
Shake, 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 shake. Come on now and move your hips in. Shake, 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 shake.
This is Kristen Yount reporting for KBOO, International Women's Day 2015. I'm speaking with Rebecca Nichols. Rebecca works for the Portland Women's Crisis Line. It is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week resource for people who are experiencing domestic violence, things like that. You can call 503-235-5333. Without further ado, let us speak with Rebecca. Thank you so much for agreeing to be here today.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I love International Women's Day, and I appreciate that KBOO is always commemorating it every year.
Yeah. So obviously there's a need, a really dire need for the Portland Women's Crisis Line. Why don't you describe for our listeners what happens there?
Okay. Well, the Portland Women's Crisis Line, or PWCL, is the largest crisis line of its kind in Oregon. We answer around 23,000 calls per year from survivors and people who care about them. We're talking with survivors of domestic violence, sexual violence, stalking, and we're also working with survivors from specific populations, which I'll talk about in a moment. But basically, when people